Okay, I left off at chapter 8, so I'm just going to pick up there. And before I start, I do want to commend y'all for your faithfulness. Guys, faithfulness is just a basic tenet and priority. You should be faithful to the Lord. You should be faithful to your husband, to your wife. Hi, Tina. You should be faithful to your children, your church. Are y'all with me? It should just be, if you start something, you should finish something, okay? No excuses for backing up or quitting or anything like that. So I commend you all, and I hope that our study in Romans has been a help and a blessing. I think Romans is a foundational book in our Christian life, and I hope that I've presented it as such. So we'll pick up. Guys, as we get to chapter 8, gave you the title last week, Spirit-Filled, and really, the Bible has spent three chapters, we're sinners, the fourth chapter, salvation and justification by faith alone, and then we get into security and like that, and then the struggle of chapter 7, and really, we live in chapter 7, you know, and it's every day. Nobody is different. Everybody struggles. One of the teenagers was talking about how the Lord dealt with them, that they were just reading their Bible and not trying to get something out of it and just coming to church and really not getting into it. And they're telling me this, and I'm thinking, yeah, I got that problem too. We all do. That is the flesh. Prone. The songwriter put it so well, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Now listen, your determination, my determination, your want to, my want to, that's not giving us the victory. It must be the power of God in our life. And that is what Romans chapter 8 is all about. And that's why it's so important. If we're going to have victory over sin, if we're going to have victory over the sinful self, the flesh, it has to be by the Holy Ghost of God. That's the only way. So we looked at verse number 1 last week. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse number 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There's three sets of laws there in verse number 2. The law of the Spirit, the law of sin, and the law of death. I think what we left off with last week, I believe this table here read the verses on how do we judge ourselves. Because, okay, we're not talking, verse number 1 wasn't talking about the condemnation of hell, but there's a condemnation to a saved person that is not walking in the Spirit. And so we said, you know, we looked at verses about how do we judge ourselves that we don't fail. And we looked at 1 John 1:9. I think y'all have that in your notes there. 1 John 1:9, Psalm 32:5, and Proverbs 28:13. If we confess our sins, 1 John, and then Proverbs is if we confess and forsake our sins, we shall find. Are y'all with me? Okay. Now here, listen to this little thought and see if it helps you. The Lord Jesus Christ has given himself to us as a saved person. That's salvation. Is that right? Now the question is, have we, as a saved person, given ourselves to the Lord? Now, you can't say you give yourself to the Lord if you live your life the way you want to live your life without reference to the Word of God or the will of God. Are we okay about that? So you think about that. Christ gave himself for us and saving us, and we are in Christ. Well, it just makes sense. I think Paul puts it in Romans 12, our reasonable service, just reasonable. We're talking in verse 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now listen, I don't know what your experiences are, but I know what it is to be a captive to sin. I know what it is to be in bondage to sin. I know what it is to know what I was doing was wrong and I wanted to quit it, but I couldn't quit it. And it wasn't until I got saved and I got the power of God to free me from that sin. Are y'all with me? Listen, I know all of us, we have sin issues, and we don't all have the same sin issues. But I'm telling you, there's some sin in your life you are not getting rid of without the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not talking about drinking and dope. I'm not talking just about that. I'm talking about envy. Hey, as a pastor, do you know what I have found one of the biggest problems with saved people is in the church? They're not content. They're not content with where they are. They're not content with who they're with. They're not content doing what they're doing. Are y'all with me? That's a problem. That's a sin. Why? God said with food and raiment therewith to be content. He said godliness with contentment is great gain. You think about this now. Charity, she really needs our prayers. As a 21, 22-year-old young lady, she's leaving that cocoon of her family, her church. What else does she know outside her family and her church? And buddy, she is traveling across the Atlantic Ocean to a different language, a different culture, a guy that she knows, but she doesn't know him that well, right? You guys experienced that? Well, not the language. Not the Atlantic Ocean. Are you with me? Hey, Mrs. Keenan and I, we're going to sit Charity down and we're going to tell her there's some things that you just have to do. The only church that girl's ever known is this church. The only pastor she's known is me. Boy, that's a bad set down right there. Brother Weimer's a good guy. Mrs. Weimer's a great lady. But everybody's different. So what she have to do? She's going to have to learn to be content with a whole different thing. And I'm not minimizing that is going to be a tough. That's why she needs our prayers. But, you know, she has learned to walk with the Lord. I believe that Charity loves the Lord. I believe that she has found the will of God for her life. I know this, in any times of doubt, she can put her head on the pillow and say, I know that this was the will of God. So when the devil sends doubts to the mind, and he will send doubts to the mind, she can overcome that with the promises of the Word of God and live a victorious life. But that's all of us. Do you understand? You know, sometimes we make too much issue out of just drinking or doping or something like that. We all have sins that are wicked sins now. And that sin of contentment I've seen in a lot of people's lives, it's ruined marriages. It's messed up churches because of splits and things like that. Just people not being content. Hey, listen to me. It'll be a real great day when y'all realize you're not as smart as you think you are. No, I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, okay? Everybody's full of pride. Oh, I'm smarter than him. I'm smarter than her. And then you take it another step. Well, I'm more spiritual than him. As soon as you go, I'm more spiritual, you're not more spiritual. That's carnality. Well, I'm better than this person. I'm better than that person. Whoa. That's all carnality. It's all pride. Okay, so we need to judge ourselves. Well, how do we do that? We need to crucify the flesh. And we've looked at these verses. Caleb, would you do Colossians 3:5? And Joy, would you do 2 Corinthians 7:1? This is Romans 6:11, guys. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Colossians 3:5.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you because we're going to look at that. Mortify, give me a definition, Josh, of mortify. Put to death, kill. Reckon yourselves to be dead. When that flesh starts acting up, you just tell them, you're dead. You get no say in this. Miss Joy, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Okay, we have the responsibility. Do you see that? Okay, if you're saved, you're in Christ. Is that correct? Okay, so if you're in Christ, does that mean that everyone in Christ is walking in the Spirit? No, it does not. Very good. There's a big difference there, isn't there? Okay, so I have been set free in verse 2. I am not subject to the devil. He is not my master anymore. He is not my father anymore. I have been set free. I have been set free from death. It's like Pastor Matt was preaching. I'm not afraid of dying. I mean, I am looking forward to crossing over. I'm like Pastor Matt. The process of dying, I'd just rather go through the rapture, amen? I mean, if I have to die on the earth, you know how I want to die? I want to put my head on a pillow at night, kiss my wife goodnight, and wake up in heaven. That would be the way to go, wouldn't it? I mean, if you can't go in the rapture. I mean, I don't want it to be a car wreck. You know, listen, guys, there's a lot of good saved people. They have suffered before they went to be with the Lord. You know, diseases and cancers and that kind of business. And I know we don't get a choice in that, but, you know, you can have a preference. So I am free from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, and death and hell. I am not going to hell. Praise the Lord for that. So verse number 3. For what the law could not do. What could the law not do? Can't save you. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That is a great, great verse. Okay, I want to start. This is important that you get this. God sending his own son in the what? The likeness. Tina, look up John 1:14. Daniel Clare, look up 1 Timothy 3:16. And Tim Clare, look up Hebrews 2:14. We're gonna look at a couple verses about the Lord, God manifest in the flesh. That's John 1:14. Tina?
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father.
You listen to me. It's a supernatural miracle that the Holy Ghost conceived the Son of God in a virgin's womb. But that is exactly what he did. Adam, the Bible refers to Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, as the last Adam. Okay, what I believe is that the Lord Jesus Christ was the last Adam. Adam came into this world. He had no sinful nature. He had no knowledge of good and evil. Now, he was referred to as the Son of God in one of the lineages. He was not divine like our Lord was divine. But I'm telling you, every frailty of the flesh, with the exception of a sinful nature, the Lord Jesus Christ was man. 1 Timothy, this is a great verse for that. 1 Timothy 3:16. Yeah, when your pride tells you, I don't want to lower myself to do that, you think of what the Lord Jesus Christ did in lowering himself to be a man. And then Hebrews 2:14, Tim. Okay. There is a very important fundamental doctrine that if you don't believe it, you can't even be saved, and that's the virgin birth. As I mentioned, Luke says that the Holy Ghost conceived Jesus Christ in Mary's womb. The medical sciences, a baby's blood does not intermingle with a mother's blood. And I think there's illustrations. Some of you Claire kids got different blood types than your parents or your mother or something like that, because the blood does not, okay? Our Lord's blood was God's blood. It was sinless blood. When Adam was created, his blood was sinless because he had no sinful nature. He had not sinned. Are y'all with me? Now, a few years ago, and I say a few, it might have been longer than that, lots of controversies came up about, could Jesus Christ have sinned? Now, you don't waste 2 minutes on that argument because, number one, what? He didn't sin. But could he have sinned? Okay, this is my personal opinion. I don't have scripture. But because he was the last Adam, I believe that the Lord could have sinned. Lots of my friends disagree with that, and that doesn't. But this is the key. He did not sin. And he was God manifest in the flesh. Now listen, guys, you could waste hours and days arguing and debating stupid stuff like that. It doesn't matter. You with me? If I knew a visiting preacher did not believe, I wouldn't even bring the subject up. Okay, we teach you about the gap in Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. I believe that. I believe the scriptures teach it. I have good friends, preacher friends. They don't believe that. I don't waste 2 seconds arguing with them. One time a guy asked me about it. In fact, it was David Turner. And I said, David, it doesn't matter to me. He said, well, show me why you believe it. And I did. So after I was done, he looked at me and he goes, huh? I said, well, here, you answer this question for me. He goes, okay. I said, when did God make the devil and when did the devil fall? He said, why don't we go out and have lunch? And it was over. Are y'all with me? Now listen to me. You tell me you don't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, I will fight you over that. I'll split the carpet with you over that. You don't want to believe the virgin birth? You don't believe in the blood atonement? Are you with me? There's some doctrines that are just, and then there's some things you just don't fuss about. Okay, so it was a virgin birth. Now, why did he die? He died for sin. Josh, look up 1 John 3:5 and 4:10. It says there that God sent in his own son in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Listen, guys, the Lord was not taken by surprise and taken to Calvary. He came to die. Why? For sin. There's never any question about it. Go ahead. Who did I? Joshua. This is 1 John 3:5. He was manifested, God manifested, to take away our sins. Look at chapter 4, verse 10, Josh. Propitiation. Great word. Okay, continuing on there, it says, in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. How did the Lord condemn sin in the flesh? Anybody got a thought? How did the Lord condemn sin in the flesh? Go ahead, Josh. I can't hear you. He was sinless. That's exactly how he did it. He was sinless. He did not give in. Very good. Verse number 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the only way we can walk after the Spirit is to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Here is the reason, okay, that here is the reason that Christ condemns sin in the flesh. And then it says this, in us, not by us, in us. Because of Christ putting his righteousness to our account. Everything Christ did, it gets imputed to us when we receive him as our Savior by the grace of God. Here's a great verse. Tim, look up Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah, that's in the Old Testament, Tim. Zechariah, I love this verse. And When I was learning about how to walk in the Spirit and how to have the power of God in my life, I would ask men like Brother Homer and Brother Dr. Green, and I asked Brother Brownie Rogers was a man that was filled with the Holy Ghost and did a lot of teaching on it. And he shared this verse with me. Go ahead, Tim. Listen, the way I was brought up is you work harder, you try harder, and you keep hitting it until you beat it. Do you follow me? That mentality is hard to change when you get into the Christian life and you mess up and you go, I'm going to try hard. And then you can't do it in the flesh. It has to be by the power of God. And that, you know what would be great is if it happens one time, and then you don't have to worry about it the rest of your life. But that's not true. Every single day, we have that battle to fight. That adversary that will try to mess us up. Okay, so my second aspect of chapter number 8 is verses 5 through 8, walking in the flesh, and this is carnality. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Ben, have you guys ever quizzed on Romans? Did you memorize Romans? What other books got quizzed on when you? Yeah, James and Romans. Ah, they're quizzing on Matthew next year. I told them I'd volunteer to do the lineages and. Wow, I tell my grandkids, I say get. What's that guy's name that does the Bible? Scorby. I said, get Scorby and listen to how he pronounces those names. That'll help you. Okay, so verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind. See, when you follow after the flesh, then you are carnally minded. You are earthly minded. Let's look at a couple of verses. Ben, 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Kevin, James 3:15. When you follow the flesh, you're going to have a carnal mind, you're going to be earthly minded. The contrast is when you're spiritual, you're not earthly minded, you're spiritually minded. When you're spiritual, it doesn't matter who won the football game. When you're spiritual, you're more concerned about a soul going to hell than who won the hockey game. Are y'all with me? Does anybody know what the price of gold right now? Tim, do you know? No, it's higher than that now. You probably looked 2 days ago. It is almost $2,000 an ounce. $2,000 an ounce. Guys, when I was just a young man, gold was $200 an ounce. Yep. That's why that stockpile of gold I have in my closet, I'm just going to live off of that. Hey, I was told, buy gold. I said, yeah. They're paving the streets with it in heaven. Amen. Okay, go ahead, Ben. Amen. You don't want to be, listen to me, that you know the devil is the god of this world. Amen. You have to know the devil knows the wickedness of your flesh. So he gears the world to attract your flesh, the lust of your flesh, to draw you away from God. So what did God do? He indwelt us with the Holy Ghost. He gave us his book. You know, gave us the church, gave us brothers and sisters in Christ. My wife was talking to your wife last night after church, and we got such a blessing. When Pastor Matt was doing that and people were thanking people and stuff at the end of service, Kristen leaned over to Daniel. I hope you don't mind me sharing this. And she said, I want to thank you for having me and your children in a good church. Buddy, that's a good woman. You guys, you listen to me, Joshua. You don't want to marry some nappy-headed sucker, you hear me? You want to marry a woman. Huh? You can't. Her price is far above rubies. I'll never forget the very first service we came to after I preached and came back. She just looked at me. I said, boy, it's so good to have you here. And she goes, boy, that was convicting. That's a blessing, man. That's a blessing. Anyway, I'm getting off track here. Kevin, James.
This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish.
That's what the book says, guys. So you're following after the flesh, you're carnal, or you're spiritual, and you're walking in the Spirit. The one that you're yielded to is the one you're going to try to please. Derek, read chapter 6, verse 16 for me. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Romans 6. See that yield there? Guys, it's who you yield to, who you serve. Luke puts it this way. This is Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can only yield to one master at a time. And so the book says, for they that are after the flesh do mind. That word mind is like care for. You care for the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, that peace there is not talking about salvation. I think earlier in the study, we looked at the peace of God and the peace with God. Y'all understand that? When you got saved, what did you get? Who knows? Go ahead, Tim. Peace with God. But the peace of God comes as you yield to the Holy Ghost and walk in the Spirit. That's in Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Okay, so to be carnally minded is what? Huh. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Is that talking about eternal life? No. What's it talking about? It's talking about the abundant life of John 10:10. Hey, let's face it. There's some Christians that are just having a better time living for God than other saved people are, right? What is that? Abundant life. Abundant life, the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. There's some Christians, they got zero joy, right? Why? Because they're in the flesh. It does not produce that. So, verse number 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity is hatred. Enmity is opposition to. And you can even see the word enemy in there, okay? They're enemies. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we looked at James 3. Let's see, Brother Daniel Kiefer, look up James 4, 4 through 8 for me. James 4, carnal is fleshly, it's worldly, it's the Adamic nature. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. James 4, verses 4 through 8, please.
Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think, as the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth no fruit. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Okay, did y'all read that article in the news about that preacher? I forget where it is, out west someplace, Midwest someplace. He was preaching at the drag things, where they have children involved. And so the drag people, the queers and the transvestites and whatever they are, they're complaining. They put a legal document on this guy because he was making those queers feel bad because he was quoting scriptures about what God thought about queers and sodomites and all that kind of stuff. Okay, but all those people that are against Christianity, they tell us to do what? Coexist. Are they going to coexist? But they want to shut us up. What is the number one freedom in the Bill of Rights? Freedom of speech. And so now they slap, the law slapped on this preacher that he can't preach against that stuff. And then they're saying that they read the Bible and the Bible was making them feel bad. No, really. I've been saved a long time. That Bible's made me feel bad a whole lot of times, and I'm not a queer. Right? I have got under conviction that's brought tears to my eyes. You talk about feeling bad. But it led me to repentance. And then the joy came. You all with me? I'm telling you, this is, you guys, I'm leaving out of here soon. You guys, if the Lord doesn't come back, you are facing, the enemy is going to really come after born-again Christians that want to take a stand for the Lord. It's going to be a bad scene if the Lord doesn't take us out. So along that good note, look at verse 7 again. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, I have a proposition for you. I want you to think about it. Turn with me to verse 28. Is not this a great promise? It's a great promise. Amen. But I want to tell you something. This is not an unconditional promise. This is a conditional promise. And we know that all things work together for good to them that what? If you love God, what are you going to do? You're going to obey the commandments. Well, the flesh is not subject to the law of God. So if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. So the promise of Romans 8:28 is nullified in your life when you're walking in the flesh. Are y'all with me? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In order for God's smile to be on your life, you need to love him. Okay, listen. You have heard me share many times growing up in our house. Daddy was a Marine. Daddy had a hair trigger temper. And he was moody. And one of the things that made him real moody and angry were disobedient children. And when we were disobedient and guilty and Daddy was moody and angry, there was not peace in that house. But when we were obedient and did our chores and Daddy was happy and in a good mood, there's great peace in that. Now, I know that's a sorry illustration. But I am telling you something, when you're in the flesh, your father's not happy with you. Amen. And the outside can look as good as you want it to look, but in that heart's not right. Amen.
The Lord knows it, does he not? So we don't want to be carnal. Cardinal-mindedness, it cancels out that conditional promise of Romans 8, 28. You can't hate God and love God at the same time. And enmity is hatred. And when you're in the flesh, there's a hatred for the things of God. But the Christian who loves God is the one whose everything is working together for his good. That law of God in verse 7, carnal, you can't be subject to the law of God.
You have any problem with tithing, Tim? Man, you know what I think? I think if all you do is tithe, you're a cheapskate. And I understand that there's growing in the Christian life, but what a privilege it is. Well, that's because you're in the Spirit. You know everything you have, God gave you. The very fact that you have health, that you can work a job and abilities to work a job and earn money, that's from the Lord.
Amen.
Are y'all with me? Well, when people gripe and complain about giving God too much money, can you imagine that? That's the flesh.
Amen.
Why? Because the flesh is at enmity with God.
Always. It always will be. So neither. It says neither. You understand your flesh is not saved, right? And neither indeed can be. So your flesh is not subject to God. The servant of sin gives so much trouble to the spiritual mind. Look at chapter 7, verse 23. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. You've heard me say this a million times. The battleground of the devil is the mind. If he can get you thinking wrong, he can mess up your whole life. Do you understand that? And listen to me. Nobody is above that. I am 70. I have been saved all this time. Just recently, I have had the devil attack my mind with some things that I had struggles with. And so I had to get down and pray. I had to go into my Bible and read my Bible. I had to go to some promises. Are y'all with me? I had to do spirit to get my mind thinking right again. I tell you what, I almost feel like I need to take a bath just reading the headlines of Fox News sometimes. And after I read them, I go, well, why in the world did I even do that? Because it just riles you up this way. And so the mind is the battlefield. We have to be careful. It's a daily battle. It's the flesh or the spirit. You walk in the flesh, there's no peace. You walk in the flesh, you're going to be a miserable saved person. You're going to lose your joy. Listen, if you walk in the flesh long enough, you know what you're going to lose? You're going to lose your faith. There's my children's generation, some of you guys. There's websites, and I don't know what they're called, recovering fundamentalists or something like that. And these kids who have been raised exactly like every one of you have been raised and in church, just like everyone, they're talking about how their parents were so strict on them and didn't let them do this and didn't let them do that. And now they're out there in the world. Why? Because they're in the flesh, and they went so far in the flesh, they lost their faith. It's a dangerous place to be, because without faith, it's what? It's impossible. And what are we in this world for anyway? We're supposed to be in the world to please the Lord. Is that not correct? And so it's a downward trend. When you see yourself going down, look at verse number 8.
So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, let's do this. Caleb, Hebrews 11:6, Miss Joy, Hebrews 13:20-21, Tina, Philippians 2:13. Can anybody? Hey, I got a good memory verse for you. Now, this would Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Does anybody know it? I'll read it to you. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's a great verse. I want you to think. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory. We can give the Lord glory. Honor. we can give the Lord honor and power. How do you and I give God power? No, I want you to think. Tim? When you die to self and yield and get full of the Holy Ghost power, you have given God power in your life. That's a good thought, son. You with me? Does God want to work in every one of our lives? Sure he does. But it's who you yield to if you let him. Why are some people better Christians than others? Because they let the Lord's power work in their life.
Okay, Hebrews 11, 6. Everybody knows this. Caleb, read it to us.
Amen. Miss Joy, this is Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Listen to this careful. That's who's working in us. And then Tina, Philippians 2, 13. If you ever had a good thought to do something, that was the Lord. Pastor Matt told me that Tina came, and they're doing something down at the baseball field by her house, and they're putting up tables. And Tina asked Pastor Matt, you know, because, listen, we've always said, if you got something that you want to do, let's do it. Get the gospel out, pass tracts. So anyway, Tina has this idea, and she needed a little bit of help. And Caleb and Joy had told Pastor Matt, if you ever need any help doing anything, well, here we are. So Pastor Matt drugged them into the room. And when are you going to do that? May 13th. They're doing a booth. They'll be passing out tracts and whatever else they're figuring out, whatever, you know. What is it? Just a job opportunity to do something. But where'd that idea come from? It came from the Lord putting that on Tina's heart. She prays. She reads her Bible. She lives in that neighborhood. She hears about this. She thinks about an idea. God put that thought in her mind. Are y'all with me? Guys, everybody should be looking for an opportunity. Take it to the pastor. I mean, what's it going to cost you, $20 to get the booth or something? And so Pastor May, oh, yeah, we can afford $20. Tina goes, well, no, I want to pay for it. Get the blessing. Are y'all with me? Hey, listen to me. You get into the rut of just going to work and doing your business and cutting your grass and all that kind of stuff. What are you going to do for God? What's going to matter in eternity? It's the Lord will work in your heart.
Okay. So pleasing God should be a top priority. You can't please him in the flesh. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, verses 9 through 12, I have listed as living in the Spirit. Now, I'm going to close up with this, okay? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. I want to ask you an honest question. When you were first saved, or maybe even since you've been first saved, did the thought ever come to you, how can I do that and be saved? Am I saved? Amen. Well, here we are. We're in chapter 7 with all these struggles, and you know we're trying to get victory. And so what I believe the Holy Ghost is trying to do is give us assurance that, okay, listen, you're going to have these struggles, but you are saved if you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, and you know you have the Holy Ghost inside of you because he bears witness. I don't have to bear witness to you. He bears witness. Are y'all with me? So that's what this is getting at. Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You're lost. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You're not saved. And if Christ be... Did you ever meet somebody and you've never met them before, but right away there's a, oh, yeah, they're saved.
That's that spirit. And then did you ever meet somebody that they say they're saved and you go, oh, that's that spirit bearing witness, guys. And so he says in verse 2, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. There in verse 11, that quicken your mortal, I believe that's a reference to the resurrection. And if you look at verse 23, that would be my cross reference. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You understand, your body's not saved. Your old man's not saved. You get your new body at the resurrection, okay? And verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. What's the flesh going to give you? Trouble all the time. What do you owe your flesh? Nothing. We owe it nothing. What do we owe the Lord? We owe him everything. Y'all with him? Okay. Hey, again, I thank you all for your faithfulness. Every night that I taught, you gave me your full attention, and I really appreciate that. I have prayed. I've tried to study and present. I hope you got a blessing. Hope you got some help. And if the Lord doesn't come back, we'll look to do it again next year. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for these folks and their faithfulness. And Lord, every night they gave me their undivided attention. And Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost would guide them into the truth of your precious word. And Lord, we love you. And we thank you for saving us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. I love you. Amen, buddy. Oh, I love you. Amen.
Amen, it's been a blessing to me. Yeah. Thank you.
Faithfulness. Amen, bud. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen, man.